Dear listeners, in all the excitement of this week's episode, we forgot to announce that the Infinity Global League painting competition has begun. The starting gun went off on the 8th of January, but you still have plenty of time to enter as the competition runs until the 20th of March. Check out the IGL Discord or search in the Infinity Global Community Facebook page for details. Don't delay. Start painting today. Greetings, listeners. Welcome to the WIP 12 podcast. My name is Raymond, and I'm here with Thomas and Christian, and we're going to talk a little bit about our pile of opportunity. Hi, guys.
Hi, Raymond.
Yeah, let's call it a pile of opportunity, because there are opportunities of painting the pile of shame, like how we know it. A backlog is also a good name for it. The minis that you bought, but yeah, are still gray or in not or primed at least, or maybe still in their box. I want to go into it. Is that we have recorded, we have made Excel sheets with our respective lists and how far we are down the line. So. Let's go into our counts. So I have to paint 127 models. Thomas, how much?
Quite a lot, Raymond.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of models.
Yeah.
I'm not one to talk about. I have to paint 148 models.
48. Christian, can you go higher?
No, I have only been playing for 1 year. But my backlog of possibilities is currently at 55 models.
55.
And while doing this, I made the very stupid decision to also plot out the euro price of each of those models. And That was a big mistake.
So you know how much is still unused, how much of your money that you could have spent on diapers or anything for your kid is now just tucked away in a corner of your house.
Yeah, so
then you can look at it like assets. It's like assets on your balance sheet. Now you know how much money it's worth. That's real. You know, that's some adult stuff right there.
Yeah, and when she turns 18, she'll be gifted some of this, or you know. This is her graduation present.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I've always wanted a Liberto or a Cascudo. Ooh, it's such a cool model, Daddy. Thank you. That's the idea.
Wow. This is worth €5 on the secondhand market. Amazing.
Or she's probably just like, what is this game? Why do you play sci-fi, Dad? Let's get me something for Warcrow, you loser. Yeah. That's probably what's going to happen.
I've got to say, making this list was quite painful. I've never done this before.
No.
I've always been quite like organized with the models I have, and I keep them very tidily. I've got boxes for different factions and all that kind of stuff. But like actually listing them out and working out how many models there are, it was quite painful. I was not, when we decided to do this episode, I was not expecting that I would like take part in this particular exercise.
No.
But once you two had done it, I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess I have to do it too. Oh no, I have so many models unpainted, so many unbuilt. And I'm sure I'm not even the worst out there. And you know, you see people sometimes go in, or you go on the secondhand selling groups on Facebook and stuff,
yeah.
And people are selling boxes and boxes of miniatures. I should be a little bit easy on myself. I know there are people with much bigger piles, but it's still, when you think I would like to paint all these at some point, that doesn't feel realistic.
I would also say that your list, it looks like a large majority of your stuff is built. The only thing that is new in box is your Corregidor and Nomad armies. Let me also
correct.
So you should pat yourself on the back there. You are halfway there.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Can,
yeah,
at I least mean, I, field I, it, yeah.
Yeah, I do build... I have a bit of a problem. I have like a strange compulsion when I see models in bag. I have to build them. I like to be able to use the models. Like, I want to be able to play with the faction. Yeah. And I don't know. Often when I'm struggling, actually, we maybe get more into this later, but motivation. If I'm struggling to motivate myself to paint, sometimes the better thing to do is to build. It kind of makes my unpainted pile bigger, but it gets me in the mood for actually painting and gets me the vibe for the modeling in quite a nice way, which is why I have so many built models.
I guess I'm similar in that my motivation also comes from I refuse to put an unpainted model on the table.
Yeah,
it has to at least have a primer and some colors on it. I could never put something silver or just gray plastic on it on the table.
Yeah,
so
yeah, it's a principle I also hold there because it's like I know that I should say that anyone that has put these models together, please bring them to the table if it only keeps you from gaming. I know I picked up this principle because I feared that I only wanted to play the newest of the new stuff, and once I've painted something, I would not use it. So I was like, well, there's stuff on my board that needs to be that either I need to have the motivation to paint, or at least bring older stuff that I already painted at least on the table, because that's painted and I want only painted models on the table. So it motivated me to use the old stuff and get into the new stuff.
I agree with that. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I maybe lay somewhere between you two, because I find I build most of my models. So like I have whole factions built and primed mostly. I'm sort of happy to use that on the table if I really want to. Like, I, for example, in this last year since ITS 15, I made a commitment to myself to play OSS. And I built all the models and they're all primed. But of course, I'm not, at the moment, I'm in a bit of a slow moment with my painting. So I've not really painted many of them at all. But I'm not going to let that stop me from playing, because otherwise I'd never play. And I'd be forced to play Kappa Kalki all the time, which I enjoy a great deal. But, you know, you've got to sort of deal with your priorities of your hobby priorities a little bit. And I want to play, and I want to play OSS, and I want to see what I can do with them. So that means I have to play unpainted, or at least primed. I try not to. I don't think I ever have put a bare metal model on the table. But I find that's just mainly because they're quite hard to read.
Yeah.
If you're in like a game store and the light, you know, you've got bright lights overhead, the metal kind of washes out, you know, you lose all the detail. So with a bit of paint on it, that just makes it look easier to see, to be honest.
How many fully painted armies do you have, or infinity armies do you have?
Just one. I wouldn't even regard it as fully painted, actually. I have Kappa Kalki. I have the most of the army done. Most of the models that I use on a regular basis. I think I used to have like a lot of vanilla models, but I sold them recently. So my collection of completed models has actually shrunk in the last sort of 2 months. But yeah, just Kappa Kalki, actually. That's it.
What about you, Rimmin? You are only Ariana, or?
No. I am. I got all the armies, all the factions, all the sectorials. I am. My collection is way past the 1,000 models, at least. So I can say that the 127 models that are not painted is maybe 10% of my collection that is not painted.
Well, but then Raymond, you've been in the game a lot longer than
I've been gathering this stuff for like 14 years now, so it can grow to that size if you play for that long easy. So the whole thing stick about 15 models and all that far surpassed it. Plus I like the game that much that I want to have it all. That's also a thing.
And the models are pretty, pretty beautiful.
I have considered, right. I passed the 1,000 mark at least, maybe I should sell off a few armies, but I'm like, no, no, I just want to keep them all. It's just too fun to have them all. And I got the patent, so why ditch them?
And how many other games do you guys have?
Oh, at least I got Song of Ice and Fire next to it, which I painted it all. So all my I got like 7 Song of Ice and Fire armies that are all painted. I got Moonstone. Those are all painted. Started recently this year. So maybe around 30 models. And I play Oathmark, mostly with my old Warhammer Fantasy models. So that's at least what's in my house. And I gathered up, that's on the other pile that I have, and that's at least that I got a few Lord of the Rings starter sets, the Mordor starter set and the Isengard starter set, and they will be my orcs in Oathmark. So I'm actually converting them so that they're on square bases and can be fit in that game.
Is Oathmark a rank and file game?
Yeah, it's a rank and file game. They are model agnostic, and yeah, you can use whatever army for it. As long as it's a fantasy army, you're good. So people play.
What's
with...
the difference? Oh, sorry for interrupting. Huh? Continue, Roman.
The difference with fantasy?
Yeah, well, I was going to ask what the difference between Warhammer Fantasy, Oathmark, and A Song of Ice and Fire is, because they all seem to me like, I don't play any of them, but they all seem like they're all rank and file.
They're all rank and file, but where, yeah, there's the old Warhammer is returning. As we speak, the 2 starter sets have been brought out for Bretonnian and Camry. So they're back again, but they were in debt for a long, long while. And the fun about the Song of Ice and Fire, it's Game of Thrones. So I love Game of Thrones. So I'm a fan. So I like that I can put Jon Snow and all those characters on the table. And the rule set is like 20 pages instead of a 200 page book. So it's slimmed down a lot, but still fun to play. Like easy to play, but hard to master. And Oathmark, I found fun because the system is well. If you play a fantasy or 40k, you will know that you have to roll a lot of dice because you mostly have to roll for hitting. Then you have to roll for wounding. Then you have to roll the saves. A lot of that. And Oathmark is like, yeah, you just roll 1d10, and just put your armor stats against the other guy's strength stats, and that's it. And then a guy dies, so it's a lot less dice rolling, and a system of I go, you go, so you play a unit, he plays a unit, so it's much faster as well, and yeah, fun system. And it doesn't matter which model you bring, so they just give you a size of the base and what's on it. It's up to you.
That's interesting. A little bit like Infinity in that way, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think Infinity has, pointed me in the direction of what kind of games I like, and that Infinity is all about, yeah, as long as you proxy and it looks right, then you can do fine, and free rules. So mostly I'm now looking for any game system that, okay, I want to get into a fantasy niche. All right, I'm looking for a game that has free rules and a system that I can understand, and that you have a very interaction like you have in Infinity. So yeah, it really pointed me in the direction of other game systems.
The free rules of Infinity have been a big eye opener for me. I've only played 40k before, and it's big eye opener about how other systems can work and share the information regarding rules.
I'm happy that I don't have to pay like 30 euros a month for a codex just to keep my armies going. Yeah. If you have like more than one army, if you get four or five, in my case, when I, at my height of Warhammer 40k, I was buying a book every month and not buying minis and not painting minis, just to keep up with the game.
Yeah, that whole thing's a bit bonkers.
Yeah.
I guess we've all probably at different points talked about also gaming history, but in terms of Christine, you're asking about what other systems we've got. I actually don't have any other systems, but I did have a quite massive collection of of various Games Workshop things. And I sold them all to buy Infinity. Ooh. I was really kind of tired, sick and tired of Games Workshop for all the reasons like you just said and many other reasons. And I was looking for a way out, but I didn't want to stop painting but I wanted something to play also that would be interesting. Infinity caught my eye, and it was like, well, how am I going to afford this? I could spend money that I have, or I could realize the value from my miniatures that I'm not using or even care about that much and do it that way. So I ended up selling off loads of really classic Warhammer and Warhammer 40,000 models quite cheaply, which was maybe a bit of a mistake from a financial perspective. But I made a lot of collectors very happy when I was like, hey, you can have this Marathi on a Pegasus in metal, a dark Pegasus, and you can have it for like 20 euros or something stupid. It wasn't 20, but it was something something low. Literally at one point, it's like guys fighting over it. It was like, I'll give you more, making up, bidding up on a thing I'd already accepted a price for. So I was like, oh shit, I really made a mistake then. But anyway, I got out of that to get into Infinity. So I have some other models. I have some RPG-based models, and I have some Blood Bowl teams. But in terms of war game systems, I only have Infinity now. Although there are plenty that I'm interested in, I think, as you say, Raymond, Infinity really like opened my eyes to what you can do in a war game and what's out there.
Yeah.
But I'm yet to take the plunge into anything else, just because I really love Infinity, and as we just discussed, I have quite a large pile of models that I'm yet to deal with.
So maybe
in the future I'll jump into something else, but not at the moment.
Yeah. So what are your guys' highlights on the list that you're like, oh, I really need to get to this one?
I think I'll go ahead.
Go for it.
I'll go ahead and start. I think for me, what I need to get done is I have some copper bots that I'm going to be proxying for OSS, since you need a whole lot of remotes in playing OSS. And I also am looking at branching out into some vanilla Aleph and some vanilla Ariadne. And for that, you of course need some diggers and libertos and motorized bounty hunters. And stuff like that. So I think those are the highlights on mine. Another highlight is that I have one of the old Maruts, which is assembled, and I'm saving that for a diorama. I'm looking at getting some of the Gundam, which are in the same scale or same size as Infinity models. So Gundam artifacts, and I'm going to make a diorama between the old Marut fighting a Gundam.
Awesome.
So it's going to be the first diorama that I do. And I've gotten it already agreed with the wife that will be hanging it up in the house somewhere. So I'll make it one of those like picture frame dioramas that can be hung up.
Oh, cool.
I basically have to make it good. I think that's kind of the prerequisite for hanging it up.
Yeah, or it might end up in like the downstairs toilet, high up above the door in like a tiny little cupboard somewhere.
Yeah. And then I think one of my other highlights is that I got, I was at a tournament in Latvia last year, and I won a gator at a tournament. So that's kind of just sitting there waiting for me to paint it up, and I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's a prize that needs to be painted.
Yeah.
So one earned.
Yeah, so yeah. I basically now need to paint 22 other Corregidor models, so I have a fully full Corregidor.
He needs friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I have been what. It needs to be done, and what needs to be done this month at least is my ITS Objectives Pack Alpha. Because there's the resilience operations. You need some beacons and some supplies and some objectives. So I need to paint these guys because I need to bring my own to the game. So at least you have to fill the table with a few objectives. And HVTs, I got a plenty, but the other stuff, I need to get that painted. And
good to have painted objectives and terrain and stuff. When I built a table the year before last, I built all the buildings and painted them all, and in the end, I could not be bothered doing the objectives, but I did, struggled on through them. They're not very well painted, but I was so happy that I did, because once you get, you know, you've got a nice table with nice buildings, you have to have the objectives painted as well.
Yeah, they're the ones thing that people are looking for to score points. So,
yeah, it's a bit shit if they're like, oh, here's some unpainted MDF or whatever, plastic, whatever it is.
All right, be right back, guys. I'm updating my log of possibilities. Yes, objective markers for my table. There we go. Thank you. That's all updated.
Yeah. And you really need them now with resilience operations, because you know you need objectives. Like, you have to have them just to play that game. If you want to play a casual game, you have to have those.
Yeah.
And you have to have a lot of them. My list of highlight things I really want to paint is quite long. I have like a few things which I started painting them a long time ago and never really finished. I have an iguana tag which is like partially painted, and I don't like the scheme, so I stopped and I want to redo it, but building up the energy to like commit to a tag is not something I'm really keen on. Similarly, I have the fat Yan Yan, who's eating noodles. You have him as an HVT, and he's also part painted. I have one thing I would say I'm sort of quite proud of in my painting career is I've painted all my HVTs are this one. And I love putting down painted HVTs on the table, but I really need to get that guy done. I don't know if these are highlights. These are kind of like the albatross, painting albatrosses that are hanging around my neck.
Yeah.
they're just like, oh, I really need to get them done. But I'm quite into, I have a sort of a weird relationship with like things that I want to paint. Like, I got into OSS and I was like super hyped for painting them. And I got to a point where I was unhappy with the scheme I created. And now I've like lost all motivation. I've sort of changed it, and I think I've got a direction that I could go in, but it's still in this sort of struggling phase. So I have loads of models in that area that I'm like, I really need to get these painted, but I just can't drive myself to get it done properly. I have an Asura Hacker, which is pretty close, but not quite there yet. And then I have like, I would say all of my remaining Kappa Kalki models. I realized I got 13, only 13 Kappa Kalki, Hackislam Kappa Kalki models unpainted. And so it was actually in making this list that we've made that I realized that. And I was like, oh shit, I'm actually quite close to finishing that faction completely. So now I'm a little bit hyped to get back into that just so I can be like, I've done this, completed. So yeah, that's sort of it really. It's a bit more vague list, but that's how I'm feeling at the moment.
Yeah, my list also contains a lot of like half packs of like, I got a Morad Aggressions action pack, and I painted a few models up because they were still not part of. I don't have them in my old army, so. I really need them painted, but the ones that I already have are still left there on the board. So I got a Zerat, because I already got Zerat's Rock to Rock and a Rashad from that pack. We're still waiting for paint. But I'm less encouraged to paint them, because I already have those. same goes for my... I got a half a Crimson Stone starter pack where I have... I just gave away my Alwaziels because, I already had like 7 Alwaziels painted up, so I don't need it 3 more with a combi rifle. That's the thing that you dive into. Oh, awesome. A new army has come out. I want the starter pack. And then you realize, oh, there's still models that I already have painted. And yeah, they're the old ones, but they're Corvus Belli quality, so they're still good. So I'm less inclined to paint stuff that I actually already own, which in most of my case, I have started to just give away a few models as prizes in my local Dutch meta, because I'm not expected to paint them anymore. And I already have 8 painted Dailamis. I don't need the 3 more from Operation Blackwind.
Sometimes I find like I prefer the older versions. Like the Dailamis is a really good example. Like I recently sold mine because I was getting out of vanilla, but I really prefer those to the newer ones. They look much more kind of rugged and when you read the fluff about Dailami, like they look like that's what they should look like. And I find that with a few other sort of models as well. Like, oh, this is really cool, but I have these older ones. Like the new reinforcements pack that's come out or is coming out for Hack Islam has Sekban in it. It's like I already have Sekban, and I think maybe I prefer these other older ones. So I'm probably not going to get the new box. I sort of want to, but it's not helping me with my pile of shame.
Yeah, the new Aleph and Hawk reinforcements look absolutely amazing. Yeah, the new painter is slaying it with those models at least.
Yeah, it's something I like the new style, but it's veering away from what we're expecting. So, but I think it's very cool. They did an awesome job with the digital on the they did digital the digital camouflage. That was, man, that's something.
Do we know who the new painter is?
I have no
idea. Yeah, he's on Instagram. I can't recall his name off the top of my head. I was quite critical, actually, of the painting when I first saw it. And there was discussion in the IGL Discord comparing the photos that Corvus Belli released and then the photos that the painter himself posted on his Instagram. And they were a little bit different. Corvus Belli or somebody had processed the image in such a way that it looks different from each other, and they look better on the Instagram account of the painter himself. Which was a strange, I mean, it wasn't like dramatically different, but there was definitely a difference. It was quite strange, and I was quite critical. I didn't at first glance I thought they looked a bit rough, but then when I saw his original and I went back to the CB pictures and I thought, yeah, actually, it is very good painting. But yeah, I'm not in love with those new releases, I got to be honest, with either of them, which is a shame because I collect both those factions. Well, in a way, it's a shame. It saves me because I don't have to buy 2 huge boxes of new models. But a little shame anyway.
You don't want a robot with a bastard sword that's standing there ready to strike? I'm fine.
Yeah, that is quite cool.
I will be buying those when they come out. Like, they look amazing. Yeah. And I like them as well, since I like trying to copy the studio paint scheme for Infinity, since I'm not that good of a painter, so it sets the bar really high, so it makes me a better painter by seeing where they put their highlights and trying to understand why they put the highlights there, right? And so this is a new style. I've got all of Angel's books, and I've seen a lot of his YouTube videos, so this is just new style, and it's going to be nice to try and copy this one, or at least paint it in this style.
Yeah, I think people just need to. Yeah, it veers off from what we are known. Like they already changed painters a few times, and they kept to a certain style, and this painter has its own. But I think it rocks.
Yeah, it's very good. It's interesting, actually, a good question for you, Raymond, as well. You obviously, Christian, you just said that you tried to follow the studio scheme. I never do. I think I've done it once when I painted Octavia Grimdottir, because I just thought it was a very cool scheme and it's just one model. But in general, I never copy the studio scheme. I don't know why. It's not like I have a particular version to it, but I always sit down and I just want to use a different color. I don't know why. Do you copy the scheme, Raymond? Or do you go for your own thing?
No, I do my own thing. Like sometimes, I know for sure. Like Grimm's Daughter is one. I liked her in her yellow jacket. So I was like, I want her also in a yellow jacket. But when you start looking at my armies, I always give it my own twist. Sometimes a unit ends up in the same color, but that's just sometimes. But mostly, yeah, I like it that I can look at my own army and know it's my own army because I decided on the colors and have it look my way. And I sometimes just switch halfway because I don't like a certain color and I just don't give a damn that my army hasn't got the same color all out. Because I'm motivated to go into my blue phase instead of my red phase. You're not the boss of me, it's my army.
I should clarify, though, that I'm also very similar to painting like you. It's just for some reason I wanted to paint the OSS in that white.
Yeah.
For some reason, that's what drew me to like them, the white and the purple and the yellow. For some reason, it just touched all the right buttons with me.
It is but my game.
Yeah, but my Corregidor and my Cosmoflot, they're painted in my own scheme, and that's fun. Like, just going in and having each model be unique is a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I think that's something with Infinity as well that's really, like, liberating.
Yeah.
Again, coming from Games Workshop games where, like, you've got 1,000 models and half of them are all the same. It's like, well, now, if I want to, each of these can be an individual. And that's really, from a painting perspective, quite liberating.
Yeah, I cannot still understand some guys who are like, yeah, I got 5 armies in 40K. Oh, which ones? Well, I got Space Wolves, I got Blood Angels, I got Ultramarines and Crimson Fists. Like, what are you doing? You're just buying the same models over and over again and painting them into another.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. I was kind of, we joke about that, but I was slightly tempted. I pulled back very quickly when I obviously collect Pakislam, but I was interested in Dashat, and I was like, do I want to get a bunch of Ghulam and do them again in like a Dashat scheme? And then I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I have enough trouble painting the stuff I have. I'm not going to get all the same minis again and just paint them different. Not for me.
Yeah, that's also with my collection. I try to stay unique. I don't buy a model again if it's not... If it's, yeah, I don't go with the same pose, same units. I like the unique feel, and there's an easy way to get them because mostly, yeah, if a certain model is popular, they bring a female one and a male one and another weapon loadout. So you don't have to spam in Infinity Anim.
Yeah. Are there any models in your collection that you are dreading to paint that you just like, oh, I just don't want to do this. I have this model and I don't want to get it done.
Oh, I'm dreading all my HVTs for the simple solution that I already painted like 15 to 20 of them. So there's there's just not a good reason to. Yeah, I love the new limited edition Helen of Troy and the Dragon Lady. But I don't want to paint them because I don't need them. So that's why I'm dreading them. Because, like, yeah, I can paint them and put them on the table. But mostly Gogo Merlin is already taking that spot for years now. Because I want to show how old I am. But now that's over because Gogo Merlin is... Yeah.
Yeah, you have to just put, like, a little tab on it that says, like, painted in 2014 or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. Sign the bottom of it. And
yeah,
I need to carbon date it so that people know that I'm really old.
Yeah, I have some models that I really don't want to paint, but I sort of really need them, and it's my war cause. I have maybe we'll talk a little later about models that maybe we want to get rid of or not or what. But I have 2 war cause.
Mm-hmm.
And like, obviously, Warcores find their way into all kinds of lists, super useful. And I had 2 because I used to collect Forco, who can take 2 Warcores. So I got 2 Warcores. And when I sold Forco, I forgot to sell one of my Warcores with them. So now I have 2, and both of them are really cool, and I really need them to be painted, but I just don't want to do it. So I don't want to paint them. I don't even know why. Sometimes you get taken against the model, and you're like, I don't want to paint this. Don't want to do
I also got two. I got Forco, but that's not the reason, because I have one that goes with my Ariadne, so he's in a camouflage state, and I got another who looks very high-tech, so she can go with the Pano and stuff.
Nice.
So I just gave you a reason.
Yeah, that's a pretty good way of doing it.
One that goes with the low-tech and one that goes with the high-tech.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea, actually. That's quite good as well, because I've got the male one that has, like, the drone flies along with him.
Yeah, he's my low-tech
guy. He's even got some, like, old Delamy boots.
Yeah.
And then the female warhorse, she's got, like, a Pano backpack.
Yeah.
She's a bit more high-tech. But, yeah, I could do that.
Yeah.
I'd go with that. That's actually a good idea. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. Maybe you're inspiring me a little bit.
I'm here to help, man. I'm here to help.
Thanks. Yeah. Yeah. I know you're getting me scratching my head about that. It's quite good. That leads quite well. I don't know, unless, Christine, you have any models that you're really dreading.
Yeah. So the ones that are just not motivating me at the moment is just my US Ariadne. I picked up some, I custom made some Desperados. I got a model kit and just kit bashed some four Desperados. And I bought the Mavericks and the Ohios and some Foxtrots when those were going out. So basically, I'm just not motivated to paint them since there's so dang many of them. At least 15 models, right, and for US Ariadne that I need to paint.
Yeah.
And my scheme for them, I'm doing a camouflage and like a different camouflage pattern for each one. That takes a while. So at the moment,
you're really making a job for yourself there, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll let them hang out for a little bit longer. Maybe I might be able to, if they're still boxed. Or some of them are still boxed. So maybe if US Ariadne goes out of print, then I can just go on the Facebook Infinity buy sell trade and sell them for three times what I paid for them. You know, that's
nice.
So an investment, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that's a dream, isn't it?
Yeah. I have 18 years to make the investment pay off for my little daughter. So.
Yeah. So to go different camouflage on any one of them, because, well, if you look at my Ariadne collection, mostly every army has a bit of their own camouflage. So my US Ariadnes differ from the others because they are in a fall camo instead of the mostly green lush camo that the other guys go in. But yeah, to go all different, that's a lot. And plus, it doesn't help that most of the US Ariadne guys, they look alike.
Yeah.
The Desperados and probably the Wolves are the ones that really jump out of it, and the Blackjacks, but the other guys are just, in black.
Is that a Maverick or a Foxtrot, or what is that?
Yeah.
Or an Ohio?
And mostly I'm proxying the one for the other, so that's not helping.
Yeah, I think that's also part of the reason why I'm not too motivated, is that they all look very, very similar.
Yeah.
So
what does motivate you then?
So what motivates me is I like thinking up something. I just like creating, I think. So I see the painting hobby is that they're kind of three different pinnacles. You have the painting, you have the sculpting and the modeling aspect of it, and then you have the playing aspect of it, right? The sculpting for me, I quite like that, or the modification aspect of it. It's not as easy in Infinity as it was with, for example, 40K, because plastic's just easier to work with, right?
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier to find third-party STLs or third-party bits, so you can go and create a lot of custom stuff relatively easy in 40K. And that is one of the things I miss, in that I do like creating stuff, but one thing I've started doing that really motivates me is creating custom bases for some of my miniatures. So just going in there and having a little bit of fun with just get out the bits box and go in and add some wiring or some texture paste or just some interesting telling part of the story of this model. And so I think that's that's fun for me, is telling just telling a story through each little miniature. So
hell, then you don't want to see my bases.
Yeah, but
I am put a bit of glue on, put a bit of flock on, done.
So for just to put this in, give you an example, is the last miniature I painted was the fat Wanwan, the one eating the noodles.
Uh-huh.
And on his little part of the little base, he was just standing on top of a whole lot of old boxes of these noodles and some Coke cans that he was standing on a big pile of trash, basically.
Yeah.
So I had actually a lot of fun, and I used almost more time that I did like creating the cool base than I did actually painting him. And so I built a base up. I made like little trash bags, and I used old contact lenses to simplify cut up glass that was on just like rubbish heap that he was standing on. And I painted used my airbrush to paint like nice little lines on the concrete to make it look like he was on the side of the road, just eating like on the side of a road in this trashy alley, just chomping on noodles. And
but does he eat there every Friday, or is it all that he ate in one setting and has thrown on the floor?
I basically put him that he was eating on top of a pile of trash. So he was just sitting there eating, maybe waiting for a taxi. I don't know. but just eating on top of trash because he's a dirty, dirty pirate. And that's the
you
story.
You need to go to the next job. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I had a lot of fun with him. And I think that's the enjoyable way for me to do it. So another example is with my Corregidor. They're all a bunch of, space miners from the Expanse, basically. Let's be honest. They're the belters from the Expanse. And just imagining each one is out on a custom little like moon area or a spaceship, and just making them all like quite derelict was interesting, like a little bit of grimdark in their painting style. And for me, that's also fun, is creating the basis for them and putting in different mechanical components for them. So that's what I like, is just creating a model and having a story to tell with your miniatures. That's what motivates me to paint.
Cool. Did I already confess that I bought Acheron Falls because I think it looks like Expanse and I want an Expanse game?
You have mentioned it in previous episodes.
Yeah, sure. I will mention it again.
Raymond, you just sent me with your basing. I think my basing, just to round that bit out, is I sort of sit somewhere between the two of you, because my I would say, Raymond, I wouldn't want to judge you in any way, but it sounds like your basing is kind of lazy. My basing is also lazy. I do not want to spend any more time on basing than I absolutely have to. But I go more for base toppers. One thing I love about Infinity is all the third-party manufacturers who make stuff. And also, Infinity, CB, they also make their own bases. But I like base toppers because I like the line of fire bases. So I like to put something on top. And that just saves me so much effort. I don't have to do the flocking. I have to paint it, right, which is kind of annoying. And I'm very keen to try out the new printed, is it color printed, Warsenal base toppers. They look very cool. Oh, I might use those for my Corregidor when I get around to them. But just so I don't have to like mess around with doing stuff, I just put the topper on, throw some paint on it, and I'm done. I don't have to think about that.
Well, since I'm sitting here with Basis Anonymous, I am bettering my life. I am. And actually, with my Song of Ice and Fire collection, I started to see one friend that paints there says, well, if you do a good base, it only brings out your model more. It's like the canvas you paint on. And it's like, yeah, you're right. So I'm doing more to shine up my bases because it makes my models look prettier.
Yeah, I must say, as the judge, head judge, if you like, of the IGL painting competition, I'm often found myself talking with the other judge or judges about the basing of a model and saying like the person's not made enough effort or they need to improve it in one way or another. But I'm completely guilty of that. I'm really like quite lazy with my basing. Yeah. The best bases I have is on my Hack Islam models, and I get, with the paint jobs on those, I get more compliments about the base than anything else. But that's because the base is a base topper that I've just painted. Like, it's got this cool, like, Islamic geometric pattern on it, which is really cool. But, like, it was very low effort for me to do it. It didn't take me any time. I didn't have to, like, you know, mark out lines or anything. It was just, like, it's cut into this piece of MDF. I just slap some paint on, job done.
We have one player in our community that goes and creates, like, he uses almost as much time on each base as he does on the models, and each of his bases is also unique, and I'm basically stealing his work, like, not stealing it, but he's the one that inspired me to go and start doing custom bases for each miniature, and it's just really cool the fact that each of his models looks completely unique and dissimilar from everything else, in that, like, each one has a completely new setting and stuff like that. So it's it really adds a lot to it. And yeah. I'm also of the opinion that a mediocre painted miniature with a good base just makes the miniature just stand out so much, just from all the way across the room. You can have so many vibrant colors that contrast very well with the base or with the miniature.
Yeah, for me, I think talking about, like, doing a story, you know, and those kinds of things, that I would say also my big motivator. I said not into basing, but I like to take, particularly why I said earlier on that I painted nearly all of my HVTs, because I love those models that are really unique, that are a character. They're clearly a person in a way that, you know, other games, you know, if you've got like 1,000 orcs or whatever, they're all basically the same and completely expendable. But there's so many models in Infinity that are just totally unique, and I love coming up with schemes for those. And I think my painting, and talking about getting through the backlog and why it's so big, is because I don't do batch painting. I don't really spend a lot of time trying to optimize my sort of process. I paint each model as it comes, and if they're in the same army, then they'll have the same general style. But generally, I like painting the individuals, and I like coming up with schemes for them. I discovered a couple of years back a book called, or two volumes of A Dictionary of Color Combinations, which was two books released in the 1930s in Japan. And then it's just a small book with, you know, you open to any page, and it'll have either 2, 3, 4, or 5 little rectangles of color just on a page next to each other. It's like, this is a combination of colors you can use. And I love just, like, flick through and find one that I like that sort of feels fitting for whatever the piece is, and then just use those colors and see where I can, like, you know, how I can arrange those colors in a satisfying way and all those kinds of things. And that's been my biggest motivation, actually, for painting. It's like, okay, I can really go to town on each individual piece and do each one with an individual kind of color scheme.
Color coding is so important. I think it can, like we said, bases can make a mediocre model look good, but color coding also makes a mediocre model look amazing if you get the right color combination. I think that's also mainly the reason that people try and tend to paint what's on the box close towards it, because they know that the color combination will work. If you want to make a pano army, you want to look like a pano army, you paint it like it's on the box. You don't go far wrong. And to come up with your own is hard. But this kind of box, I use a certain color rainbow that you can see, well, which colors work well together or just spark off each other, because some color combinations, like blue and yellow, will jump out, green and red will jump out, although green and red is also always a risk, because when you paint an army green red, you might end up with your Christmas army.
Huge risk.
So it's always a way to look at what jumps out, and that you use a few colors to jump out, but also you don't want your belt to jump out, or your pouch. You want the suit or the armor to jump out. So yeah, it's good ways to if you got that in check, yeah, then you can really, yeah, it can make a stunning looking army with, yeah, not the greatest of painting skills, but yeah, because sometimes yeah, someone paints something amazing, but you look at the colors and you're like, you don't see that the painting is that amazing because the colors don't work together.
I sometimes wonder about that with some of the Corvus Belli Studio schemes, actually. Yeah. We mentioned the Aleph one earlier on, which is very good. But that sometimes you'll hear people criticize it online. I've heard people talking about the Hack Islam color scheme, for example, the studio one, which I'm not a fan of either. And I think, because obviously the quality of the painting is excellent, but I think what the problem is the selection of colors. They don't quite vibe together in quite the right way. And I think selecting the right colors is definitely important. I think the other side of that, though, is composing your painting in the right way. So taking, like you said, like if you have green and red, having them, you can sort of inadvertently create like a red-green stripe pattern, which will make it feel way more Christmassy than if you spread those colors out and you include something else that goes between them. And I think working that out is also, I find, quite motivating. You know, that's the creative part for me. It's like, okay, I've got these colors I want to use. I think they go together. You know, maybe I've used a color wheel to work it out and make sure that they're like complementary in whatever way. But then also, am I putting them in the right place on the model? Because they look good together on a piece of paper, but I've got this three-dimensional thing that I have to realize in some fashion. How am I gonna put these colors? You know, if I'm looking at like, you know, you have often have overlapping armor plates. Am I going to make them all the same color? Am I going to add in some extra highlights? Okay, but then is that consistent? Does that armor plate lap underneath another one and go around the back? Does it, you know, you've got these kind of, you end up with these quite complicated questions about how do I read this three-dimensional object?
Yeah.
And then if I paint this one like this with these colors, I've got all these other different shapes of models in my faction. Does that color scheme still work? And I personally, one of the, talking about my OSS earlier on that I'm not happy with is I picked a color scheme that I liked and I painted the Deva using it and it looked really cool. And then I used those same colors to paint one of the Rems and it looked like it should have been in 012. I picked like red, I put blue and gold were like the main color and then with a little bit of red. But because the Rem has got so many big flat surfaces and they were all blue and they had this NMM gold on it, it started looking like 012, and I was like, well, this is not what I wanted at all. So sometimes you have to then also try your scheme on different models to make sure it actually works. But that challenge I find really inspiring, and that's the kind of creative bit of it for me.
Yeah, because sometimes you paint some armor and then there's you got your heavy infantry and they end up in all that color. While your regular mooks are just wearing pants, so it's a different color, and that's always the issue that I have with the heavy infantry, that they're just not ending up as one block of blue because I decided that armor should be blue in this army.
Yeah, I mean, if you think you have a whole army and you've got ag, which is a big piece, lots of open space, going down through Rems, HI, and then you're sort of light infantry and other things that are wearing, as you say, just pants and whatever, like that can become quite challenging. But that, you know, that's the fun for me anyways, working out that challenge.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts, Christian?
Yeah, I agree with you guys in that it's mostly about contrast. So if you have the red and the green, to take your example from earlier, you want to have a vibrant red contrasted with the desaturated green, so you have the contrast in the vibrancy. I hope I'm using these terms correctly. I'm still learning all of it, so if I say something incorrect, please correct me. Or if you want to have the green pop out, you can do that and use reddish, you know, a desaturated red for the other ones if you want to have a complementary color scheme. But that's what I've found out, is that it's making interesting painting is all about having contrast of light, contrast of color value, and also contrast of the saturation. So if you have white, you need to also have a little bit of dark. If you have some desaturation, you also need to have some very saturated colors and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, because it's also important to look what on your model are you going to paint boring, so that the things that you really want to highlight comes out, like the like I said, the belts. Yeah, you don't need to have a really good reason to make a bright yellow belt, because you're painting Batman. But once you're not painting Batman, they mostly end up like a dark blue or brown in my cases, mostly. Because I'm always looking for the quick and dirty options, and sometimes you don't want to spend all your time on just a pouch or a belt or whatever. So if you paint it, in a gray or in a black or brown, and just give it a little highlight, it's good enough. If you pay attention on your model, on your armor or the head, mostly. Yeah, humans look for the heads on models, so I spent the most time there, that the details work, that the eyes are good. But once you look at pouches or boots, then I think a highlight is more than enough.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, because I really went big on this what the internet calls the slap chop method.
Oh yeah.
That's it works well for me. So you take a black primer, and then you start brushing your models with a makeup brush, to paint them first gray and then highlight with white. So you actually already got the contrast of dark to light in your base coating, and then from then on you're gonna start using washes, and when you apply the wash, the highlights that you brought in with the painting from of the primer underneath come out, so you really get the contrast really fast on these models. And from that point on, anything that needs a bit more attention, I start highlighting or paint them over. And the ones that are in the dark recesses, I keep as is. Because it doesn't matter, it's in the shadow. So, but with that method, and especially with Infinity models that have that much detail on them, it's a very easy way to get a really nice finish.
That's nice. Yeah, it's not a technique I've ever used actually, but I've seen it. It's a very good effect. You describe it quite well. I mean, it can be so quick.
Yeah,
but then you can also, as you say, you can kind of push it harder if you want to, and make it, you know, do the basic effect and then go back over and smarten it up if you really want to.
Yeah.
It's quite a great way to paint. I don't have the equipment for it. I found that, I mentioned that I don't have an airbrush. I don't have makeup brush either. I don't have. I have a really limited set of tools that I work with. A part of that is limited space. I have an extremely limited sort of hobby space. I paint on my dining table, and I have to pack everything down. It all fits onto like a refractory food tray. Like, you know, if you go to a high school, secondary school dinner hall, and you get a little tray, all of my stuff fits on there when I'm painting. I've obviously got a case for minis, and I've got a little rack for paints, but when it's out, it just goes on there. And it has to all go back on there and go back into the cupboard. So extra steps and extra things that are really cool processes I've never really gotten into, mostly because I just don't have the space for it. Yeah. And then also I don't really have like the, you know, I have a way I like to paint, and I try not to sort of mess with that.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Yeah. I really got
time is limited.
Yeah, I can relate, because I really got into a painting slump once I got from my regular to into contrast paints. Because at first I was like, yeah, contrast paints, they really go fast, and I will primer white instead of black. And then I ended up not painting that much, because I was like, oh, but how do I do this? am I really happy with the finish and how it got there? So the slap chop really helped to get me to a second stage in that, I wasn't very excited about just doing white primer and using contrast paint and not getting, and mostly correcting everything that I done wrong on the model. So I was mostly correcting things because I went over something I didn't want to paint in that color, and then you have to really try and get it white again so that you can contrast it again. Mostly don't work out that well. But with the slap chop, I really got to a point like, all right, this works for me. And yeah, I will never go into airbrushing because I want to paint while there's a movie on or a series that I can watch, so I can paint and watch and get into a flow. So yeah, to have an airbrush on my table will not work for me. But yeah, I only bought one makeup brush and I'm already doing fine with slap chop. It's not that big a deal. I just ask my girlfriend, hey, I need this kind of brush.
Yeah. You know where I can get that one? Thomas? Yeah. How do you prime your miniatures? Do you just use a rattle can?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can just
rattle can in black.
Yeah. And then you can do the zenithal with a white or a light gray. Yeah. And then you can just easily dry brush the white on top. That's actually what I recommend.
I used to do two cans zenithal. So I paint black or gray, dark gray, and then go over with a white or a pale gray if I can find it. I found that was good for when I was painting. I have loads of models built and then I want to play with them. Having a zenithal prime is really, I've mentioned this in the painting episodes I've done about, it's really useful because it makes the model so much easier to read. So if you're going to use them on the table, it's like, oh, I know what that one is. I can see it so much better. I found, though, that it sort of in a weird way disincentivized me to paint the model because it's like, oh, this looks good. This looks fine. Like, yeah, obviously it's black and white.
This is finished.
It's finished. I can read it. It looks fine. I'm happy with this. I wasn't happy with it, but you know, I would sort of prioritize things that weirdly were, I don't know why I did this. I would prioritize models that were just normal, you know, basically black or whatever. And I thought this is silly. And it wasn't helping my painting much. I found that, the idea with the zenithal is that you can use a thinner paint. And so you have this undershade, like you were saying earlier on, Raymond, with like the slap chops technique. It's very similar, right? You can just do it with normal layers and it works in a very similar way. But I found that it wasn't really helping me. If I'm honest, and maybe I was in like a phase of like being a little bit too lazy, I was putting quite a lot of paint on the model straight away. And then the difference between the light and the dark wasn't really making much of a difference. And it was a step that I could take out of my process. Having said, it's, you know, I have limited time. I don't want to keep, you know, spend ages spraying models. I find that really annoying anyway. So I just took that step away.
Then probably the best technique is the one that gets you painting.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy. You hear a lot of people online like arguing over what one should or shouldn't do. But it really doesn't matter. If you've got a thing that works for you, then do that thing. Like, and don't worry about what anyone else is doing. Yeah. I mean, you can obviously take inspiration from anywhere you like, but if you're happy with where you're at, that's also fine.
Yeah, I think that's the real one. If it gets you painting, if it gets you going, like I said, contrast. I thought I could go faster, and then all of a sudden I'm not painting anymore because I don't use the technique because I don't want to use the technique, or I'm not happy with the result. Then you probably have to go to the old technique that you know.
Yeah.
I guess that's one of the good sides of having multiple different armies or having such a large backlog of models is that you can try out different techniques on each one.
Yeah.
And if you burn out, then you're like, yeah, I didn't like this model too much anyways. I'm going to try another one. Or just go to a completely different technique and be like, oh, oils. I wanted to try those out for quite a while. I saw a video of people doing that on YouTube. Let me try that out. Or airbrushing as well. There are plenty of videos with that.
Well, sometimes I'm just in my certain color phase, like, oh, I really enjoy this way that I found to paint white or bronze, or And now all of a sudden all my models are ending up in that color.
Yeah, I do that as well. Like I got really into green, and I sort of tried not to use it with the aforementioned OSS army and went with blue, but the blue didn't work out, and I was like, I'll just do this green because I know how it works, and I really like the look of it. So yeah.
It's just easy painting it green. Yeah. Now that we have all these models and we have our techniques and we have our ways of getting through, I think we're going to the most difficult question to answer, and that's how many models do we think we can paint in the first half of 2024, and which ones?
Oof. Who wants to go first?
All right, I can go ahead. I can go ahead and start this one.
Your pile is the smallest.
Yeah, mine is the smallest, and I guess I'm all right. So, to summarize, I have three models for OSS. I have five mercenary models, which basically is for vanilla. I have 22 corregidor models, and then about seven combined army. And the only models that I'll be buying in the short future, crossing my fingers, is the LF reinforcements pack. I might have to buy two boxes. I'm not sure about that. But that might add 10 more models onto mine. So my OSS, those are all speed painted. And I have a workflow. I have an Excel sheet where I track down each of the steps and figure that out. So that should only be about... I use about an hour on each model, so that should be about 15 hours on that. And then all of my US Ariadne are speed painted, so that is also about... No, they're not all speed painted. That's about 2 hours, 3 hours on each one of those. And my Corregidor, those are also custom, so that's also... But I'm taking a lot of time on that. So I think I can actually get through this this year. I only need... 150 hours, I'd say, and then I can get through everything. So I'm calling it now. I'll be able to get through my entire backlog by summer.
Ooh.
Wow.
Mm.
That is bold. You've got yours down to quite, you know, how many hours and this, that, and the other things, which is much more than I have. way more than I have. I mean, I don't have 148 hours. Even if each one took an hour, I wouldn't be able to do it in a year. But I think it's interesting, as I mentioned earlier on, like making my list made me realize what I had and what's left in factions and things like that. Before coming into this podcast, I was thinking to myself, I really need to paint my Alep. I've got to get some OSS done, try and get at least, you know, sort of most of a list worth done. I'm hoping to go sort of target for, and I think this is a thing, calling back to motivation a little bit, painting for events is also very helpful for me in getting things done. And my target is in May is the Swedish Championships in Infinity. And so I want to take OSS. So I want to get a list done for that. But having looked at my pile of possibilities, I might just go back to Capricalchi because I know what I'm doing and I enjoy it, and I can get an entire faction finished. All of this is to say that I don't really know what I'm going to paint, and I still really want to paint Dasha, and I want to paint Wyco, and I want to paint loads of things. So I'm going to say that my goal for this year in terms of painting is something completely different. And that is, I have, when I worked out my list, I realized my biggest faction by far is my mercenaries, is models that don't belong to just one faction.
Yeah.
So I want to try and work through those, because that I'm realizing this just through talking in this instance, is that, I, you know, talking about my process and things I like to do and how I like to work, I've got things like a Liberto that I need to paint for Dasha. I already have one, but I need a second one now. I've got Kaplans, I've got Yanyans, I've got loads of these cool models, which all can have their very own little scheme. They don't have to match with anybody at all. So I might focus in on that, in which case I'd like to think I could get through. How many have I got? I've got 24 of them. 23 of them. I could probably paint them all in a year. Let's say that. It's completely unrealistic, but I'm going to paint all of my mercenaries this year. 24 models. That should be doable. Yeah.
Awesome. I have to also do some calculations on the spot because I'm not like Christian that I already put it into hours. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I know last month, December, I painted a whole Targaryen Song of Ice and Fire army. So that's 20 horsemen, 48 infantry, 14 heroes, and I've done them all in a month. So that means that I could really go at it at these 127 models that I have to go at. I know for a fact that this month I just want to paint 18, and those are the ones that are in the alpha pack of the ITS objective. So they have to be done by the 21st, because then is the tournament. But my whole other collection is just a hodgepodge of half painted army deals. I got Combined on there. I got Nomads on there. I got Hakislam on there. I got Jujing, JSA, O12, Pano. I just got so mixed. And yeah, what helps for me is that I know which army I want to play, and then I paint models for that. But currently, I'm playing Ariadna, and all my Ariadna models are finished. So so I have to find a reason to paint these guys, or have to switch armies. And mostly Whip 12 helped, because I wanted to maybe talk about a certain faction and their reinforcements, yada yada. So let's paint up those guys. So I don't know. I probably have to find an army that I want to play, and then paint the guys up for that. But when I look at this list, it's also when I go to my local meta, I don't want to play the armies that other people are playing, because I don't. Yeah, that's I always want to be the unique kind of snowflake out there. That's playing the other stuff. So I got my local Nomad player. I got my local Yujing player. I got my local O12 player. There's also a guy who's really big into Combined. So.
Yeah, that limits your range a little bit. I know that feeling very much.
So, but to do a pledge, I will pick two out, and I will say, let's do the Yujing that I have, and let's do the Hakislam that I have, because those are also the two armies that I'm most interested in playing in future. So that means from the Hakislam side, there's a bit of starter that I have. So that's a Nadir, a Bokhtar, a Lasik, and a Barit. So that's four. Then I have a Mokhtar Hacker laying about, and I got the Ajar limited edition. So that's six. And I got some Yujing. So I got Changao squad, the ones that Hollow Mask. Which, that's not a good reason to paint them, because they're mostly using other models.
Yeah, they are cool models, though.
And then, four Jujax and the Yamao limited edition. So with that, those are nine, so that's 13. And then I have the 18 objective models, so that's at least 30 units that I can paint. And get under the 100. I think that's a good goal to have.
That's the goal. Do you think you can get through that many realistically?
I think so, because that's the real part of this pile of opportunity. That in my vacation of the New Year's, I've painted 20 Infinity models that were standing here for years and years in a half painted state. And I was like, I don't want to talk about these guys because they're standing here for years now. And I really feel ashamed of them that they're still standing here. while I painted Song of Ice and Fire, while I painted Moonstone, and I was looking at these poor little knights that I still had to paint from the army, from the Military Order's army deal. Yeah. I still needed to be painted. I did 20 half finished models that are already like in the process of being highlighted and done. So I think realistically I can in half a year can do this Yujing, the pack and the Harkslam.
Cool. That should be very doable. Cool, that's yeah, it. I believe in you.
Yeah. What I like as well is your motivation is you have to speak about these things in public.
Yeah.
Someone, there's a certain amount of accountability there. Like, you know, I'm gonna have to talk about these.
Is it not how society works that you shame people into doing stuff?
Yeah. It's the pile of shame, but it's also like the pile of shame is being shamed for the pile of shame is in a way a good thing. You need to be shamed in order to make yourself get through it.
But also, and let's end on a positive note that people just, I don't want to have our listeners to be like, oh yeah, I have to be ashamed of my stack of bottles because
we're all Catholic here. We're all Catholics here now. Raymond, yeah. That's it. Shame is driving us.
Well, I think it's just I want to say that it's fine to have a pile. It's because it's so easy to go with the hype or with a new flashy model and buy it and it makes you happy. You get your dopamine because you bought your little thingy. You're like hyped that reinforcements came in. So yeah, I've got the Cascuda and Maximus, and I'm like, whenever I'm going to paint these dudes, because when you look at the reinforcements lists, it's not very handy to throw Maximus on the battlefield while you want to throw five models instead. So, but yeah, they looked cool and you were hyped and that's why you bought them. And so it's already fine that you bought something that made you happy and that you have it. And in the worst case, you sell it half price or give it away to someone.
Who's selling Infinity models for half price? I very rarely see that. Like I think I got lucky when I picked up my OSS army for like third of the price. I've never seen.
I sell my models quite cheap. Anyone see me selling models? You should expect them to be cheap. I get with the rare ones, you know, they can be expensive and like, yeah, maybe you want to add a little bit, but usually when I'm selling stuff, I just want to get rid of it. Like, I'm only selling it because I don't want it anymore. I do not want these models in my face. Yeah. Get rid of them. So, and it's, you know, they're secondhand. And, all you guys selling out there, these are, if you're selling secondhand means it takes a big cut out of the price. You can't sell. I've had guys try and sell me secondhand models for more than I can buy them in a local game store. It's like, come on, get real. Sorry, totally a different subject.
But they're assembled, man. Come on, that takes that adds value to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
No. I think the further away they are from being like brand new, the more you've got to knock price off. Unless you are literally a professional painter and all they've been professionally painted, then I'll accept you've got a premium added. But otherwise, no. Because I'm going to strip any paint job you've done, I'm going to strip it because I want to do my paint job. So all that work that gets put into like putting it together is like it's all undone when it goes into the bucket of like paint stripper. So anyway.
Are there any models that you're looking at offloading that you're thinking of selling?
Not really. Like I mentioned, I got two war cords. I'd probably like to get rid of one of those now. Just looking at the list of it makes my teeth itch. I want to get rid of one of them. But yeah, no, because I've made a decision, I get rid of them quite swiftly. So at the moment, I'm happy with all I've got. But looking at this list, I'm like, maybe all those white coat models I bought, maybe I'll just sell those now because it's too much of a pile of stuff to get through. But no, I don't have anything I want to sell just at the moment.
Well, like I said, most of my models end up either if I don't want to paint them, they end up on the price table of our local meta. Because that's how I get rid of my models. I sell them at half price, mostly to friends and acquaintances, because I want to get them into the game. but I don't want to paint what I'm having right now. So mostly it's offloading, so I don't get a lot of paint stress. So I for one thing, I sold my Greyjoy army half price. I had a lot of Greyjoy because I bought a secondhand army and I sold them to Stein, so that now he's playing Song of Ice and Fire, but he doesn't play Infinity no more. But he wins. Thomas, that's news.
Shame.
Yeah, shame.
What? Yeah. Stein. Oh, come on, dude.
I got him listening into another game. I'm sorry.
Oh, hang on.
Yeah.
I'll forgive you.
Yeah. We will get him back. I know he still has an army.
Okay. That's okay. Then.
Yeah. But yeah, when I look, am I offloading models? There's a big chance my HVT models that I still have to paint end up on the price table at my local Dutch Meta, because I'm already got a lot of them. So yeah, any last thoughts on our Pals of Opportunity?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and start. I'm really looking forward to getting done with my backlog so I have new space for the new sectorial. So hopefully that's a good sectorial, so I can paint that up as well.
A new sectorial? Is there a new sectorial coming?
There is a new sectorial coming. Yeah, oh. Not been announced yet, just that there is one. Oh. I really hope that it sucks and I hate it, so that I am not tempted in any way to buy it. If I am, then my previous comment about not wanting to sell anything currently may change very dramatically, but we'll see. But yeah, I don't have any further thoughts.
I am not allowed to mention any new sectorials anymore, somehow.
Oh, yeah, Raymond, no, you can't. It's definitely not. We're not gonna talk about that. But yeah, here's hoping that it's not a Defiant sectorial, a real one.
Well, I just want to say, people, if you got a pile of shame, don't be ashamed. See it as an opportunity, and paint it up with the technique that works for you, or don't. Or have it, just have it in boxes and just sit with your boxes and stroke those boxes and say, ah, you're a lovely model. So I will get to you someday. That's fine as well. That's enjoying the hobby as well.
Absolutely.
It counts as hobbying.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, listeners, good luck. Have fun. And we will in the future do another episode and tell you how we succeeded or did not succeed at our goals in future. So Christian, we're really gonna check up on you. Have you done your whole collection by summer?
You forgot that I'm going on paternity leave, so I will have a couple of hours around the house. So every time baby is sleeping, daddy will either be sleeping as well,
painting.
Or painting. Yes. That is the idea. Let's see how effective that is. I think everyone that's had a kid before, this is my first kid, so everyone that's had one before is probably laughing at me now, but on top of that,
you fool.
Yeah. Kids don't sleep. Oh.
Sleeping kids.
I have this wild dream. Yeah. I have this wild dream that I would do lots of painting this year. No. Yeah. Good luck. Anyway, it might work for you. Did not work for me.
Right.
I've joined a workshop where I can just have all my models just hanging out there. So I can just go in, pop in for an hour, do some airbrushing, and head home. So.
Awesome. That works.
Yeah, so I don't have to pack everything up. So it's going to be nice.
Great. Well, guys, thanks for joining in and sharing your piles. And then, listeners, until next time.
Yeah. Nicely done.
Thanks, guys. Very enjoyable.